to the Future of Education podcast. Here's our host, the co-founder of 2-Hour Learning, Mackenzie Price.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Future of Education. I'm Mackenzie Price. Yesterday, Richard and I talked about how you can help your shy children to get out there and be their best, ways that you can encourage better communication and socialization. Today, we're going to talk about how mindset can help you and your child thrive. So here's my conversation with Richard Newman, founder and CEO at Body Talk. Hey, Richard, good to talk to you some more today.
Yeah, good to talk to you as well.
So yeah, let's talk about mindset. What are some of the ways that you currently see maybe kids and parents struggle with mindset? And what do you think we should be doing instead?
So the last few years have really amplified the challenge that people have with mindset. If I think back sort of 10 years ago, I've been running my business now 24 years, and we used to do a lot of work on communication skills and various areas. And if we offered anything around confidence or mindset 10 years ago, people would say, I don't need that, I'm fine, whether they were or not. But then suddenly, as we all went through this pandemic together, as parents, as children, as business owners, or whatever place you came at it from, suddenly there was a huge challenge. It really impacted people's mindset because the whole world was shaken. What we thought was natural and normal, just sort of go to the shops, go to school, whatever you're doing, suddenly you couldn't do those things. And if you did those things, they were really bizarre. You had to stand 2 meters away from someone wearing a mask. It was very strange. And so people have really had their mindset shaken. And so we've been working with people a huge amount over the last couple of years to help them get back to a place, as I put it, where you can be a rock in the storm. So no matter what happens around you, politically, economically, challenges in your friends, family, your community, that you're able to thrive in that situation. And one of the key pieces that we've worked on with people, which you can do as a parent, you can do this as a child as well, you can guide your children through, is getting to a place where you feel confident and you're not looking for external validation. So just to break that down for a moment, at the moment, we're living in a very challenging world as parents where kids have access to the internet and social media and phones and so on from an early age. And we all know that this can lead to people searching for external validation. So as an example, I'm sure many people listening can relate to this, where first thing in the morning, what do? Do you hug your child? Do you kiss your partner? Or do you pick up your phone and look at social media?
Right.
And when people are looking through that, often what they'll do is they'll post something on social media, and 12 minutes later, they go and they try and see how many likes and how many follows and how many comments have I got? And that's looking for external validation. And so this puts us into a negative mindset spiral where our mindset is really based on what other people think of us or how other people react to us. There's another way to go about this. So there was a great experiment done in 2015 by David Creswell and David Sherman. They did a series of experiments called the Triasocial Stress Test. Well, that was the protocol they were using. And as part of this, one of the versions of it that they put together is where they got people to go for a job interview that they believed was their dream job. But before going in, they told the panel, don't give them any validation. You can't nod. You can't say yes. You can't say well done. You just need to shake your head and fold your arms. And so we're going to see how people react. Then you have to ask them to do a presentation on the spot, give them tough maths questions, really put them under stress. And what they found is at the end of this, half of the people who went through that experience, their nerves were shattered. Their heart was beating through their chest. Their cortisol and adrenaline levels were spiking. But the other half, there was no change. They were completely fine. The big difference was the people who were fine in that experience, before they went in, they spent 15 minutes. That's all it took. Just took 15 minutes writing down a page about their personal values. What are the principles that they care about that have guided the most important decisions in their life and guide what sort of person they want to become? They did that for 15 minutes and they went in and their heart rate didn't change. Their cortisol or adrenaline didn't change. And what they found then is that those people had internal validation. They validated themselves before they went into the interaction. The people who hadn't done that, they were looking for external validation from this interview panel, like me, please like me, give me the job. And then that was making them feel utterly stressed out. So you can do this for yourself as a parent. You know, as a parent, I've been through all this sort of early stages now where you get woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't know what the time is, there's vomit everywhere, you know, there's all sorts of things you go through. Or maybe you go through the teenage phase where you can't get them out of bed. But either way, there's something you can do really quick to set up your day as a parent, which is you can have your values written down on a sticky note next to the bed. so that before you get out of bed and you go and address anyone, you just look at what your values are. And I encourage people to have no more than three, because you've got probably 30 to 40 different values or principles. But think about your top three.
Right.
What are they, and how have they guided your most important moments and decisions in life? What kind of person do you want to be? And so you focus on them. You just think about it for 30 seconds, and then you go and be a parent. Then you go and address your child. And if you've got a child who's finding it really tough going to school, there's all the pressures of school, all the different things that they're dealing with around them, is if you work on this with them and you say to them, okay, let's focus on, rather than external validation, trying to get bullies to like you, trying to look good on social media or trying to show up well at school, let's get you loving you first. What are your values? And have that conversation about this, which, you know, depending on their age, you can play this at different levels, and just talk to them about what is it that really matters to them. When they feel proud of themselves, how are they acting that day? Or when they see other people they really admire, what is it in their behavior or their the way they treat other people that they really respect and like? And then you can say, okay, and when have you done that in your life? Have you done that for, you know, maybe for your brother or sister? Did you do that at some point where you saw someone being mean at school and you have this value of integrity or standing up for others and you did that? Then they can start to think, wow, I'm really proud of who I am. And then you say to them, okay, before you go to school, if it's a tough day, focus on your values. Remember that that's who you are. If it's lunch break and you've been having a really stressful day, just take a moment for yourself, come back to your values, internal validation, then go into that sort of next meeting or lesson or whatever you've got. And so by having this piece, it just gets them to a place where they think, I'm okay with me. And so I can start to deal with all the different things happening around me. Now, you can extend that. If you're a parent, then thinking, maybe you've got a child slightly older who's thinking, I've got to go to figure out which college I'm going to go to and maybe what career I'm going to have, and I don't know what to do, and other people around me seem to have their life sorted out. There's two things you can do here. If you have your values and you combine it with your GPS, which I'll unpack for you, then this gives you the key to having a meaningful life. So values gives you your compass. That's the sense of which direction do I want to point in? Who do I want to be? But a compass without a GPS isn't very valuable. If you think, I want to go north, for me, that would send me straight through this brick wall. It's not particularly useful, but it's sort of, you know, it lets me know that, well, that's where I want to get to. Your GPS tells you how to get there. And GPS is your gifts, your passions, and your skills. So gifts are things that people are born with, they didn't have to try and get good at. Passions are things that they're not necessarily good at, but they love. And skills are the things that they have earned so far. And so when I think about this, for me as a child, one of my gifts was I was always really good with creative writing. From the age of about 6, I was getting compliments. I was top of the class on it. And that was a gift that I thought, okay, that's something I want to do more of in life, and led me to be an author later on. One of my gifts also was to be autistic. I didn't know it at the time, but it gives me a lens on communication and on people. And it gives me a heightened state of productivity that's actually very useful to me in life. So I think, okay, that's a gift.
And actually, real quick, though, with regard to autism, because we have parents who listen to this whose kids are on the spectrum. And I think that is such an important thing to remember. And I've talked to so many people who are autistic who say, it is a gift for me. It allows me to step back sometimes and see things that maybe other people don't. It gives us something. And so
yeah.
I think it's just so critical that, one, parents can understand, like, this is okay.
Yeah.
And it can be a superpower. It can be a gift.
Oh, yeah.
And explaining that to their kids too, that as well, is so important. So that is such a great point that you made. And I'm so happy to hear that you have been able to look at autism as a gift as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm very well aware as well that, you know, there's a huge spectrum and there's lots of variations of it. All I can speak for is, in my experience, it has, for example, made me highly productive. It was Chase Bank who they did a survey of how people in their staff were getting on. They found that their autistic members of staff were 40% more productive than other members of staff. And they could learn in a matter of weeks what it took other people to learn months to do. And so there's certain elements that it just gives you as a gift. There's also, you know, there's challenges that show up for me around being autistic as well. But there are elements of gifts where I think, I'm so glad I have that. It also means for me, as a lens on, when I go into a social situation, I may not understand everything that's happening, but I take in more of what's happening than other people. And over the course of another couple of weeks, I process these things and I've seen things and noticed things about people that nobody else saw.
That is amazing.
Because of that. So yeah, I think it's important to embrace differences as a gift where you can. And then you can talk to your kids about, you know, passions. Passions might be something that they love it. They're just not very good at it. So that can be something that makes them feel alive or could become a skill later on. And then the S is the skill, something they've had to earn. So I was never good at maths. I hated it. I got poor scores. Even like the teacher pulled me to one side saying, you're terrible at this. And then I really worked on it. I had extra coaching on it and it became a skill. And so then later when I was looking at in life thinking, well, where do I want to be? These are my values. These are my GPS gifts, passions, and skills. And it just directed me in a very obvious direction about like, this is where I want to be heading. And I've been going on that path ever since. So I think as parents, if you're guiding your kids or for kids going through it, once they start to think about those things, they can think, you know, I'm proud of who I am. And, you know, even if I haven't got it all figured out now, I now know which roads I want to go on. GPS shows you these are the roads to get to your final destination that's going to get you there the quickest. And that's your GPS that will give you that peace. So you can talk to kids about that to give them a really positive mindset around how to have a meaningful and fulfilling life. Even if they don't know what the job title is yet, at least they will know something that's going to head them in that direction.
And they don't need to know the job title, but when you combine values, as you mentioned, with this idea of GPS, that is absolutely great. I love the idea of your North Star and your compass and then your GPS track. And I like what you said at the beginning of you can do like the values conversation with young children, right? And especially when you say, keep it simple, no more than three. I mean, you can just say, what do we value here today? Like, what is it that I value? And that's really important to become kind of a self-identifier. And I just recently went through this at the older level. My daughter's a senior in high school and the world of college admissions has just gotten so insane and cutthroat that we were on a very regular basis having that conversation of understanding, hey, this is not going to define you. Where you go to college does not define your worth, who you are, or what you're going to be as a person. But let's really get back to basics to understand like, who is she and what does she value? And it's a great exercise to do because it does help in very stressful times. It also helps adults, right? I was doing the same thing because during that admission time, I would find myself getting a little nervous about what's going to happen, where is she going, what's the next chapter look like? And coming back to that idea of like, in the end, here's what really matters. And that internal validation is so much more critical.
Yeah.
When we talk about the GPS, gifts, passions, and skills, I hear from parents all the time who say, I can't figure out what my kid's interested in. They're sort of turned off. And unfortunately, I think, you know, the traditional school system doesn't do a great job of stoking the fires of passion for kids and getting them interested in things. So what's the advice that you give for someone who's trying to help their young person go find those passions and what they're, you know, where they're eventually going to intersect their passions with their talents?
Yeah, I think it's really critical to lean into understanding that with your child when they go through that phase of, you know, in teenage years, it's not cool to express how much you love something. I remember this very distinctly. When I was 12 years old, I moved up to secondary school, I guess you call it high school, and we were told to introduce ourselves to the class and say what our passions were. And I said that my passion at the time, my favorite pop star was Kylie Minogue, who... Right now, she is super cool and everyone thinks she's utterly amazing. Back then, she was the least cool person to say that you liked, particularly when I went to an all-boys school. And so they started ridiculing me. And so I thought, okay, expressing what your passions are is terrible. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pretend that I don't feel anything about anything ever again. And so we can go through that piece. And so I think what matters as a parent is to create a safe space for them to love what they actually love, not love what they think they will get approved for loving by their friends or by their parents. I heard this recently, I think it's so powerful, that we end up growing into the person that we think our parents would love. So we say, oh yeah, no, I really love basketball too. Yeah, because I get to spend time with my dad because he likes basketball. So maybe I like it too. And you see them sitting there going, yeah, 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 and cheering for a team they have no interest in whatsoever, but they're just trying to get the love and approval. And so it can be a matter of leaning into the interests that your children have, even if you don't understand it at all, but finding out why they love it and allowing them to be passionate about it because of what they're passionate about in that situation. Like one of my children at the moment, he can be a little bit quiet, but if he gets into this game called Blox Fruits, which I still don't really understand, he lights up completely. And he's like, Dad, I got a new fruit today that allows me to do ninja jumps. And I think, wow, that's cool. Let's talk about it. What is it that makes you light up about that? Like, what is it that's great here? And so when you get them comfortable with knowing that anything that they're passionate about is okay, then that can be really useful because, you know, sometimes we can be in a situation of saying to a child, well, why don't you like ice cream? Everybody likes ice cream. Come and like ice cream. And they think, okay, I have to like that. I have to be passionate about that. And we dull down the other bits. So making sure it's okay to be passionate about things that are weird and not saying, oh, stop spending your time reading those books. You're such a nerd. Get out there and play with the other kids. You know, it clearly is not going to help. We've got to allow them to be that ridiculously unique and wildly different person that they are in a way that they can have this fervent passion about something that doesn't seem to make sense to anybody else and encourage that and lean into, you know, buy them the extra paints that they need to go and have that passion or go to the concert of that person that you think you just sounds like noise to you, but frankly to them, it's everything they could imagine because it lights them up in their heart. And then suddenly their likelihood of expressing that passion and being passionate every day just goes through the roof.
Leaning into kids' interests as opposed to kind of minimizing them, which I think so many parents do. Oh, he plays these dumb video games that I don't understand, or she's obsessed with, you know, some TikTok phenomenon or whatever. It's like, no, instead connect with that. And I'll tell you some of the best interactions I've had with my kids and deepening of my relationship has been when I jumped into their interests and said, hey, let me learn about what it is that you're doing. I always laugh. There's a show that you might not be familiar with called Gilmore Girls that my daughter got really interested in when she was about 14 or 15. And that started my career of watching all of the Gilmore Girls so that I could, connect with her. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't even just about having that connection about what was going on in that show. It was more about understanding, like, what are some of the things that came up? What are the conversations that came up? And, you know, we had so much depth as a result of just having something where I leaned into her interests. And it actually turned into, for her, she's really interested in how pop entertainment can teach kids moral and religious values, even when it's regular, you know, regular entertainment. Mm. So it's turned into something that she's continuing to work on and has been doing kind of more professionally too. And it all came from, you know, hanging out and watching a show together. That kind of thing is great.
Yeah.
Well, Richard, I think you have so much great advice for parents, not only for parents, really for people, right? For humans. And I'm definitely going to carry away that idea of having a compass, having your GPS, being clear on that. And it's great. Where can people find more information about you? If something's resonated, do you have a book? Do you have a website? What's the best way to learn more?
Sure. Probably the most relevant piece to the conversations that we've had on today's show and yesterday's show. I've got this book called You Were Born to Speak, which is out in hardback and Kindle. And there's an audio book, which I narrated as well, which I really wrote for people of all levels. I wrote it actually for my kids because I thought, you know, one day I may not be teaching this anymore, but I want to let them know they were born to speak. They were born to have a voice, be heard, be seen. And that's a really nice place that people can go to. They can get it worldwide. They can find me on Instagram as well. I'm on Richard Newman Speaks is my handle. And I like to sort of share little 60-second videos on there that will inspire anybody. And lastly, they can go to ukbodytalk.com for all of my other information.
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to friend you on Instagram right away. And I know what my next Audible book is going to be. So this is a fantastic conversation. Thank you, Richard, for joining me.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Future of Education. Again, thanks so much to Richard Newman, founder and CEO at Body Talk, for joining us. If you want to hear more from Richard, go check out his website at ukbodytalk.com. And you're always welcome to head over to futureofeducationpod.com. We have summaries of our episodes, contact information for our guests. My Instagram handle is @futureof_education. So reach out on social media, or you can search for the Future of Education channel on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we're going to publish a podcast episode very regularly. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow. That's all for today. But until next time, remember, kids are limitless. Our job is to help unlock their potential.